And joining us live now is George Washington University law professor Jonathan Turley. Professor, one of the arguments we have heard advanced over this individual mandate is that we all end up paying for health care anyway, even for uninsured people. So it's really a matter of how it's financed rather than forcing people to buy something.
Well, to some extent that's true. But I think people will be surprised in listening to this debate that most of what is being discussed is removed from the merits of national health care. Most of what the court is considering are questions that can be somewhat technical or arcane, such as, is this the right time to bring a lawsuit? But then the real major question is not the ends of national health care legislation, but the means. That the court's looking at whether the federal government has stepped beyond its authority in requiring everyone in every state to get health care. And at the heart of this is this question of federalism. That to what extent can Congress and the president claim that a person who doesn't get health care in Richmond is creating a federal problem that upon which you can base federal jurisdiction? That's a very difficult question because the court has left the cases in this area in a fair degree of confusion. It's a real muddle. So they're going to have to clear the decks. They're going to have to bring an element of clarity that's been missing in this area for many, many years.
And you say you were quoted as saying it's frankly hard to see what would be left of federalism as a concept in the United States if the Supreme Court upholds the law. Now, would that be a bad thing?
Well, you know, I'm in a curious position because I actually support national health care. But I do believe that there is a legitimate federalism problem here raised by the states. Now, whether people believe in federalism or not, or they believe that states should have protected areas, it is a critical part of our Constitution. It is the very foundation upon which our Constitution was ratified. I don't see what would be left, quite frankly, of federalism if this is enough to base federal jurisdiction. And so for states' rights advocates, for federalism advocates, this is really the Alamo. I mean, this is your final stand. Federalism has been losing ground for decades, and they're putting everything on this case for good reason, because if they lose here, I don't see what will remain for them.
Which justices do you expect to vote which way? In other words, who would you watch most closely here?
Well, quite frankly, I did a blog this morning saying that this is pretty much a court of two. Everyone else could leave. You've got Justice Scalia and Justice Kennedy. Justice Kennedy is the one that everyone's talking about. He is often the swing voter on some of these cases. But many people don't realize that this icon of the right, Scalia, is very much in play. He has said things in past cases that would seem to directly support the arguments being advanced by the Obama administration. He took a very broad interpretation of what constitutes interstate commerce in a prior case. He's got to carry that water if he's going to go with the right in this case. He's got to distinguish that. So a lot of people are going to be watching him carefully to see if he's tacking to the right to try to find a way to thread that needle to make it consistent with his prior cases.
That would be something if Scalia was one of the justices who went to the other side in this case. Jonathan Turley, professor of public interest law at George Washington University. Thanks for being with us, professor.
My great pleasure. Thank you.